Thank you all so much for being here. So let's just take a guess. Do you think that we were able to change the counselor's behavior, which of course would be the prerequisite to changing patient behavior? How many people think yes? All right, so you're kind of with us. All right, so here's the big reveal. So the first big reveal is, you know, I always think at APHA, you know, unless you're a doctor, nobody's going to even offer you any money. So most of us have no relationships to disclose. All right, so let me just walk you through the research design here. So this study was conducted in 10 Title X funded clinics. I'm going to go ahead and let you know those were all Planned Parenthood health centers. And we paired the health centers, but then randomly assigned them either to our treatment as usual or to the experimental condition. Now, one of the conversations we had a lot going into this was that I can say certainly on the Planned Parenthood side of the street, but I also think on the NYU side of the street, we actually thought Planned Parenthood might know a little something about how to do this. So we actually thought that the sort of control condition was going to be tough to beat, and that that was going to be one of the challenges here. So you'll get to see how that came out. In terms of sample size, we ended up with 1,384 participants. That was approximately 135 women from each of those 10 health centers, and the final number was in our sort of treatment as usual, the control condition. We had 758 folks, and in the experimental, we had 626. There were three measurement points. There was a baseline in the health center survey post-visit, right? And again, because of the randomization, right, you didn't have to do something before that. Randomization takes care of that. And then we did both 6-month and 12-month follow-ups, and those were done by phone. So I'm going to give you the selected results. I just want to reiterate what Deborah was saying in terms of, you know, what was the intervention with those counselors, right? What did they get? And essentially what they got was a day-long training, then followed by shadowing and feedback on the following day. And then we did, you know, have some opportunities to do a little bit of booster work and reach out to people to see how it was going. So, but how many of you have done training of professionals and haven't necessarily either felt or gone out and realized that it changed any of their behaviors? Anybody had that experience? Yeah. So, you know, we weren't quite sure how it was going to come out, but I'm going to show you. So first of all, just some characteristics of the sample, and you know, these are all sort of linear, but they're all up there, but to give you a feel, you know, for many of these folks, as you'll see a little further down, about half of this group was employed, half of them were still in school, so you can see there's a pretty low percentage of folks who had a bachelor's, but that's because many of them were in school. The median age was 23, a very low annual income. Any of you students? Yeah, those students really pulled down the income of your whole sample. And then, you know, we had a pretty nice diverse group of folks, about half white, 36% African American, 8% Latino. And then this was also mainly a single and never having given birth sample. So one of the things that's important is we looked at why people came in for a visit. It's interesting in this field and at Planned Parenthood even that many times when people just come in for a pill refill, we don't necessarily see that as an opportunity to talk to people about whether that method is working best for them. And so one of the things that we did in this study is we said, everybody's fair game. So even folks who are coming in and expecting to just do that refill, we're going to actually try to have a conversation with them. But again, you can see how that might create some problems in terms of if we're measuring things like whether people move to LARC use and so on, which Dr. Jackard, he gets the big results, but that makes sense because he's the PI. All right. Here's the first thing. You heard about those all those 10 practices. And you probably, especially any of you who run health centers, were thinking, well, that's lovely, but I can't just talk to one person a day. It's great, all those cups of tea, but we're never going to get people out of here. So there was a very big concern about the time. And as you can see, our health centers were in three different states. The mean difference between the experimental and the control in Ohio was just about 3 minutes. It was less than a minute in Pennsylvania and about 2.5 minutes in Maryland. So not much additional time for, you're going to get to see a lot more good stuff. So did the counseling change? This is the really big first primary question. Well, guess what? When you look at that treatment as usual versus our experimental condition, okay, all of these are statistically significant differences. When we asked about whether counseling covered how to use the method correctly, okay, don't ask me how 18% of the time in our regular health centers, we didn't talk about that, but we didn't. But in the experimental condition, that pretty much always happened. Plans for switching, as you heard, that is a very careful one of the practices. And so again, not surprisingly, that went from 60% up to 94%. Side effects, you know, that was something that was covered 72% of the time in the control condition, but over 90% of the time in the experimental condition. Whether STDs were covered, only 64% of the time in the treatment as usual, again, over 90% in our experimental condition. This plans for pregnancy, right? That sort of reproductive life planning that everybody was so hesitant about, but we gave a few simple questions, and look, we actually really moved that up from only 36%. It was part of the discussions, only 36% of the time in the control and 81% of the time in the experimental. This discussion about important others, and I would say, you know, when I've had to kind of sum up what's something that's really different than what's been done in contraceptive counseling in the past. I think, you know, this image that maybe we like to have of women as these completely independent decision makers is really foiled by the literature. And so it is very, very important that we talk about what matters, because of course when you look at things like discontinuation or lack of satisfaction, a lot of times women are talking about their partner's feelings about a method. So we were able to really move that up. And quick start, we would love to see that much higher, but it was higher in the experimental condition than it was in treatment as usual. So guess what? The counseling changed. All right, so how did the patients feel about it? So we did ask, and right now I'm just going to show you the baseline, but then I'm going to show you whether these were persistent effects. So I'm going to give you some sums of some of the items, but also give you a sense of what these kinds of items were. So in terms of the evaluation of the counselor, it was more positive in the experimental condition than in treatment as usual. And so one of these items would be, overall, I liked my counselor a great deal. In terms of trusting the counselor, again, statistically significant difference between treatment as usual and the experimental condition. And to give you a sense of these items, one of them was, my counselor was sincerely interested in me. So that really ended up coming across and giving those kinds of questions that Deborah talked about. What about expertise that we know is so important? Again, we had a statistically significant difference between the treatment as usual and our experimental condition. And to give you a sense of that, we asked questions like, or we let them rate, my counselor seemed very knowledgeable about birth control. So we managed to get the counselors to seem knowledgeable about birth control. That's great. So that was the counselors. Then the overall session, again, same pattern. Statistically significant difference between our usual practice and this newfangled way of doing things. And those were things like, my counseling today was very good. All right, so that's terrific. We were very happy about that. But certainly at Planned Parenthood and for other folks, you know, we also care about this overall patient experience, and everybody's putting a very big focus on that. So that's terrific that they felt good about that individual interaction. But we also asked a set of questions about whether that extended out to how people felt about the actual health center. So let's take a look at that. In terms of the evaluation of the clinic, again, a statistically significant difference between the treatment as usual and the experimental. And we ask things like, or have them rate statements like, overall, I'm very satisfied with the clinic. So this becomes intriguing that actually people then think about the clinic differently, not just about their counselor. Then what about the clinic accessibility, which we measured with items like, I feel like it would be easy to access staff in the clinic. And again, you saw we were quite purposeful about those things like having somebody write their name on a card and hand it to someone. So it wasn't an accident that it ended up this way, but that little action, which doesn't take really much time at all, actually made a difference. And then, of course, the thing you're all waiting for is, yeah, but what about the birth control already, people? Satisfaction with method chosen. So we ask questions like, you know, I feel positive about my current method of birth control. So we were able to conclude from the baseline that this protocol did not add much time, that many critical conversations took place that sadly were not happening. I'm not exactly sure people are talking about what they watched on Netflix, but you know, they're not talking about the things necessarily that really need to be discussed when it comes to contraception. And then we've got already more positive attitudes towards the counselor, the counseling, and the health center, and high level of satisfaction with the method chosen. Great. Does it last? 6 and 12 months. Now remember, this is still a one-time 15-minute interaction. So try to think about something that could happen to you today for 15 minutes that would matter 6 or 12 months from now. Now, I'm a sex educator, so I'm not going to ask you to disclose those, but there probably aren't a lot of things. All right. So when we actually looked at these items related to the evaluation of the clinic 6 months later, there was still a difference between our treatment as usual and our experimental condition. So there was a persistent effect. When we looked at it at 12 months, we still had that. So again, for an organization like mine, this matters a lot. People are still feeling more positive as a result of just doing this change at the level of that healthcare assistant. Again, this was not with the clinicians. This wasn't painting the waiting rooms. This wasn't giving people goodie bags. This was just changing the counseling. Satisfaction with the method chosen. Again, that was persistent at 6 months. And then it evens out. And the truth is, this actually makes a lot of sense because you would think after a year of using a method that your actual experience of that method would matter more than what somebody told you about or what you talked about a year ago. So I think that makes perfect sense. But here we go. So we're able to conclude from this that we do get these persistent effects over time. And again, very noteworthy 10 to 15 minute one-time intervention. And we saw those differences for both the counseling and it glommed, this being the scientific word, it glommed onto how people felt about the health center as well. So that all looks very promising, but for the really big stuff, you get to hear from Dr. Jaffe.